Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I have cheese and crackers.
And it's time to class up some wrestling. Because WrestleMania happened. Which, in some circles, is a big deal.
It certainly is in my circle. Like,
that's the rumor, is important things happen when it comes time for WrestleMania. So, me and Chris here, we took the time.
Hi.
We watched the WrestleMania.
Twice.
And we're going to take it apart, match by match. 8 matches in all. Some of them were good.
But don't worry, we know how to put it back together.
We do. for your later enjoyment on digital video disc.
Or we might break your favorite toy. Whatever, you know, suck it.
Who cares? All right, let's do first match, since first match got the most hate on the internet.
Certainly.
Sheamus and Daniel Bryan opened the night, World Heavyweight Championship, 18 seconds long. Maybe 19 seconds long.
Yep, Sheamus hit him with the brogue kick.
Yep.
And that was all she wrote.
One boot to the head. Shortest
just
match.
Just as the crowd was getting into it, too.
I know, that's the thing, is this crowd was all about some Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
There was this whole group right at the front that made some awesome yes posters that I'm sure took them a long time to make.
A lot of them, yeah.
And
at least a good half hour in Kinko's.
Yeah. And so, what do they get? What do they get for their efforts?
They get 18 seconds and a kick. So, I mean, a lot of people are upset about it. Personally, my initial reaction is basically, I felt like it was fitting to Daniel Bryan's character, you know?
Yeah.
That, of course, the guy who's been, you know, just bragging about things and talking about how much better he was. And, you know, also the guy who's been weaseling his way out of matches lately. I mean, why not have it like this? It works perfectly with the character. And obviously it's not going to hurt him with the fans any, because, I mean, dear God, they've been, I believe that those 18 seconds have done more for Daniel Bryan's just popularity with the fans. Like, he's more over than he's ever going to be, I think.
I mean, I understand the disappointment, the hatred. Daniel Bryan is one of the best wrestlers in the business.
Right, and right a now. Lot of people were, legitimately excited to see this match.
Yes.
Especially since it was a dark match last year. So.
Right. But it adds to the idea that we had this match, dark match, last year, and now we only get 18 seconds of this match. So, I can see where the R-Truth of the world are going, this is a conspiracy against Daniel Bryan, never getting his WrestleMania moment.
But, I mean, WWE hasn't really been one to be like, you know, when they see a reaction of that magnitude, they're going to just milk it for all it's worth. Like, expect to almost be sick of some Daniel Bryan here in the next, I would say, about a month or so.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out. And that is my only real problem with it, is that WrestleMania is not a thing where you start new storylines where you have we'll find out moments. WrestleMania is the end, the comeuppance. And so, yes, if it's part of the character where when the character finally gets in an unavoidable match, he loses in a single kick,
right.
You know, that's one thing. But to play this as now we'll see where Daniel Bryan goes from here, which was my biggest problem with last year's WrestleMania, so much of it felt like a stepping stone of a storyline instead of where the final moment in the storyline was.
Yeah, understandable.
All right, onward and sideways, because definitely not upward. I don't know. Can we just talk about those 3 matches all at once?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Kane, Randy Orton, Big Show, Cody Rhodes, and the Divas match. It was the 3 filler matches all in one segment.
I kind of wish they had spaced these out a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, they had no idea what the fans' reaction is going to be to them or anything, but I mean, we're looking at the times now. And we have
11 minutes, 5
we
minutes.
We have 3 matches that went over 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We had, and the only spacing between them was between Taker and Triple H. We had GM versus GM, and then Punk, Jericho, and then Rock and Cena. We could have easily put at least one of those matches in between Punk and Jericho. Because, I mean, fans were pretty exhausted after Taker and Triple H.
Yeah.
They got a little bit of a rest from with GM versus GM, but it was still kind of an exciting moment.
Yeah, I mean,
and then when Punk and Jericho happened, they, you know, got wore out again. And, you know, where are they supposed to go? Like,
I guess,
keep up that energy?
I guess they have singing breaks in between.
They did have singing breaks, I suppose, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It's... There's always so many arguments for card organization at these kind of things. You know, to me, it always feels like The Undertaker has the biggest match of the night because...
But
it's,
I mean,
the streak thing.
Yeah, but I understand that WrestleMania 28 was not going to be that situation.
No, I understood that Rock and Cena were going to close out the show, but I remember 2 years ago when it was Undertaker and Shawn Michaels was the final match of the night, and so the build up to last year's felt like Undertaker and Triple H would be the final match of the night.
True, because I mean, certainly no one really was all that excited about. I mean, of course,
we all knew that The Rock was going to get involved somehow.
Exactly. So we all knew, just from that aspect, that Cena and Miz would be the last.
Right.
Now, certainly, on their own merit, and if it was just looking at those two guys, it's like, you know, why would that be last?
Yeah. I mean, part of it is, while not last, you know, they're halfway through the card.
At least.
And so... I don't know. There's different arguments for different organizations. And it's usually the WWE Championship closes out the show unless there is a grudge match that tops that. Which I think this year was very clearly the case. Obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously, Rock and Cena are going to close out the show, unquestionably. But they did have, you know, that's going to be a main event. If you count the two belts as main event matches and you count the streak as a main event matches, half the matches... quote-unquote main event matches.
Like, any one of those, if any one of those happened at a different pay-per-view, each one of them could have easily ended the show.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. But carrying on, Undertaker and Triple H might have been the match of the night.
It was, for me, it was definitely at least the...
It is one of the two contenders.
It was the spot of the night for me, like... As a story, as a whole, like, it was a great story, you know?
Right.
It was just, I don't know how to expand upon it from that, like, it was just, you know,
I mean, this
everything was coming to a head, and it's like they were telling the story as they're in the match, you know?
Yeah.
And,
I think, you know, for our group that watched WrestleMania all together, I think this is the match we were most vocally involved in, yeah.
Oh God, our neighbors below us, they got plenty to hear about.
They knew what was going on.
They knew. Well, they didn't know. I was leaving afterwards, and one of them was out on their back deck, and they're like, "Are y'all watching a game or something?" I was like, "No, WrestleMania," and just kind of gave you a look. He's like, "Oh, okay, y'all are hype." I was like, yeah. I mean, it was exciting.
I wasn't expecting
for me to get that excited about that match during the match.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let alone everyone else. But we were in that. We were emotionally involved in that
match. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I think everybody, you know, everybody has a feeling of this match clearly has to go one way or the other. You know, we were getting some people who were saying, I think most people were saying, clearly Undertaker has to make his 20-0 mark. But some people were saying, clearly Undertaker is, you know, of retiring age and needs to go ahead and lose this match. But That, you know, because it feels so clearly that you know who's going to win this match.
Right.
Every near fall feels like, oh, this is it.
And I think, okay, and the presentation of it all was pretty fantastic. Of course, you know, the intros took forever.
Intros did take
forever. And the cage got its own intro.
Yes, it did. Own intro but music for the cage.
I think would have been interesting if I had to, like, if you know, WWE came to me and asked me what I thought would work.
Right.
Honestly, I would have kept the cage match under wraps and, like, not told anyone. And then, like, right when they came out, then you hear the Metallica music, then you see, because they kept the cage hidden behind the overhead screens.
Right.
Then the cage comes out, it's like, oh, hey, new development. You know, I mean, if it's going to get its own intro, it might as well be a surprise intro. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Well,
I mean, of course, you know, I've stated, you know, beforehand that I was more invested in this match when they announced it was a Talent Cell match, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, they didn't use the Cell very much.
Which I wasn't expecting them to. The Cell is just so much bigger than it used to be.
Yeah.
So there's no chance they're going to climb on top of it like they used to.
Yeah. But, you know, we usually get somebody smashing somebody's face into the Cell or, you know, throwing up, you know, out of the ring and against the wall or something.
Yeah.
You know, this was mostly just a regular in-the-ring match with
it was
some camera obscurities.
It was basically anything-goes match without being a false count anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree to that. But they used chairs, the best I've seen chairs used in years.
Without, and didn't even have
without,
headshots.
Yeah, without headshots.
I was glad for that. Dear God, Undertaker's back.
He looked beat
up. It just looked like ground
beef.
They
both got cut open.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Both got cut open pretty early.
Yeah.
I mean, might as well go went in and, you know, had Jean cut open just to match everyone. Jeez.
And I gotta say, best moment of the night was Undertaker standing on Triple H's hamra. And whoever that cameraman was, props to you, sir, for getting that shot that was on the head of the hammer and, like, panned up
and
Undertaker's face.
Undertaker was standing over him?
Yeah, he was standing over him. He was standing on the hammer.
That was...
So he could pick up the hammer. Oh.
That was camera work gold. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
It was really good. So,
Now, how do you feel, like, moving on from this point? Like, I felt... Just the way that everything ended. Spoiler alert, Undertaker won.
Yes.
Another spoiler alert. Shawn Michaels and Taker helped Triple H walk out. And it was a pretty cool moment. Personally, I feel like I would be okay if none of the three men ever came back to the ring after that. Like,
yeah.
I felt like that was a perfect ending for the three of them.
I strongly agree with you as far as facing each other. I think any storyline between Undertaker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels is done.
I don't know. Like, I just felt like that was a perfect send-off for them. Like, it wouldn't be overly sappy. You know, it was them, you know,
I mean,
leaving each other with, you know, respectful in hand. Like,
if they ended it there, I wouldn't feel unfulfilled.
Like, okay... And maybe it's just me, but how do I say this?
I don't know.
The last real season of Scrubs.
Yeah.
JD got the perfect send off with the Peter Gabriel song and the bedsheet.
Yeah.
Video and everything, and then he shows up for 6 episodes for Scrubs. College years, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Med school. Yes, I just confused Scrubs with Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Scrubs med school. The 9th season.
And I mean, and it kind of felt like it was wasted, almost. Like, JD, you got the, like, best send-off any character could have gotten. You know? Like, I would almost feel like that if any of them came back. Now, of course, and if they found somehow some way to top it, then by all means, but I want that in writing.
I mean, I've always been an advocate for the streak getting broken. I was never one to say that
kind of Undertaker should retire. Like, torch passing thing?
And just there's...
We all know that Rock and Cena was not a torch passing
thing. No, apparently not.
Dear God.
But I still feel like there's something to do with the streak. You know, you've used the streak as something to get people to, you know, buy into WrestleMania and maybe this year kind of thing. And if you don't break the streak, it'll be somebody has to win 19 undefeated WrestleManias.
And no one's even gone. No one's close to that.
Miz is 3-0, and, you know, his victory this year was part of a 12-man tag team match, so I don't know how much you can count that. But, right. You know, even then, you know, Miz has 16 more years of undefeated matches.
Yeah. Which, I mean, he's no spring chicken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to have to get someone to...
It feels like... Someone early. Yeah, 50 years from now, some wrestler who hasn't been born yet will be the person who takes advantage of it. And just so many people leave defeated. That's kind of how you retire.
Right.
Is with some form of there are younger and better and stronger
wrestlers, you know, now. I mean...
Even The Rock left on a defeat.
True.
You know, like back his first big leave in 2003.
Everyone Brett Favre's it. Like, they keep going as long as they believe that they still can do it.
Right.
You know, and the best way to believe you can do it is by winning.
Right.
And, you know, once the Vikings had a terrible season, there was Brett Favre. Gone. So, I mean...
I want The Undertaker's last match to be a great match. This was a great match.
This was a fantastic match, and certainly... Undertaker looks so much better than he did last year.
Yeah, the year off did him good.
Oh yeah. I was thoroughly impressed with everything. And I mean, I that was a picture that surfaced online somewhere, and it was Taker, Michelle McCool, and some like a friend of theirs or something. And you know, his arms look really like almost like a. Someone who, like, you know, had a bunch of muscle and then all went away.
Yeah.
You know, like, he still had, like, almost like a shadow of muscle. And so a lot of people were like, oh, no. You know, they were panicking. Taker looked a little leaner. He looked a little leaner, at least in the face. I don't know if his hair had anything to do with it. I think
the hair helped.
But he looked good. And it made me believe that maybe he can... do this at least another year.
Yeah. I think that whatever the... If he's back next year to defend the streak again, I think somebody needs to pursue him.
Yeah, him pursuing people just doesn't seem to work to me. Not in my mind. Like, it doesn't seem right.
It was okay this year because of this very specific...
Because of that story, yeah.
Yeah, thing. But no, he doesn't... It wouldn't make sense to me to have him go looking for somebody to face next year.
I could just imagine, like, you know, Undertaker in some sort of jacket with the collar, you know, flipped up and hands in pocket and people coming out of the locker room. And Taker's like, hey, you. Gives him the head nod. Sup? You want to go?
Want to wrestle at WrestleMania?
Precisely. That's right. We're bringing back Deuce and Domino and putting Undertaker in their stead.
Exactly. But it's a thing where, you know, I don't think we'll find out what the real plan is until January, February.
Right.
But we'll hear rumors from now until then.
Oh, yeah. We won't... Until we see, you know... Taker, I don't know what it will take for people to, you know, finally be like, okay, he's not going to come back. Unless he breaks character and comes out as Mark Calloway and be like, hey, chill out, I'm done.
Yeah, because...
Until then, like, we're like... Because he's one of the guys... He's like one of those kind of people that, you know, when he's gone, he's out of the limelight. Like,
yeah,
you won't hear anything about him.
And I mean, nobody came out on Monday to talk about it, about Good Raw, you know.
Nope.
tip hats to anybody. Mm-mm. None of that happened.
I mean, they had a lot to cover, so I don't know if they're just waiting until next week or what.
I don't know. I also am not, you know, I'm it's curious if Undertaker will only be fighting at WrestleManias now.
It feels like the year before that he took like 6 months off or something like that, and then he had a short program with Kane for a little while. It was a couple months.
Yeah,
then he
got hurt. It was SummerSlam to October.
Yeah, then he got hurt, and then you know he took off the rest until WrestleMania. But he didn't seem.
But if you remember, like he returned for a single SmackDown and broke his face.
Yeah.
So, it you know, and then he's just been, you know, problems since then. So right. It feels like he's been kind of knocked out, unfortunately, out of the, you know.
And you know what? I would be okay schedule. If the end result was him looking that good at WrestleMania, I'm okay with him taking the year off. Like, certainly, he certainly deserves it if anyone does.
Yeah.
With all the shots that he's taken and everything he's done. As a fan, I would love to see him like every week.
Yeah,
but it just doesn't seem.
I mean, the only downside is, you know, it's kind of how many new fans do you gain each year, and how many old fans do you lose? Because you know, the WWE universe is always kind of fluctuating. New people coming in, people right. are dropping it, yeah. And we have friends who are, you know, new to the material, and to the point where
they barely. Know who Undertaker is.
When, you know, they don't have any investment in the history of Undertaker because they've seen him wrestle twice.
And all they'll see is, you know, short video packages that they'll show promoting it.
Like, yeah. Which is why, you know, they cheered for Triple H is because they don't understand. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess mentally they understand that, oh, Undertaker's a big deal, but they don't feel the big deal that we feel about it. You know, they haven't seen... You know, 19 matches already, where he's.
I haven't seen
19 matches, but
I've seen a few. I mean, I try to go back because a friend of ours posted like, you know, it's like, oh, it's his every single win, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll watch him, you know, because I feel like it's my duty as a wrestling fan. Yeah, I made it like 4 matches in, and just got bored and started watching Cougar Town. I'm watching Cougar Town now, by the way.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Watch Cougar Town. Might get canceled.
Watch
the numbers.
Watch Community. They're making a comeback.
Community's doing good.
They're good, doing good, but we're keeping it up.
All right. Next match. Team Johnny versus Team Teddy.
If we must.
Of course we must. This was not that bad of a match, all in all. I'll defend this match.
And, oh, yeah. It did what it was supposed to, and it lasted... longer than the tag team match from last year.
It did. Which
is what we had to compare it to.
Kali had a limited time.
Thank God.
And when when it got crazy, it got entertainingly crazy.
Yeah, like, I really did like the spot with R-Truth Kingston and Zack Ryder, you know, both flipping over the top rope.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. That was fun. That was fun.
Very good, yeah.
Zack Ryder looked... pretty good in this match. If I had to give him a batch MVP, I think I would give it to him. Be honest with you.
I mean,
then right underneath it's, you know, Ziggles.
But I mean, that's yeah. just because I give it to Dolph because always Dolph.
Because he sells.
But yeah, I'm pleased with this. I'm really pleased with the outcome because I was very much dreading that.
Because John Laurinaitis won this pimp suit.
Yeah.
Or Colonel Sanders suit, whatever you want to. I would say Colonel Sanders, but then...
But Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler said it. He made the joke after I did, so it's no longer funny anymore. So we're going to go with Pimp Suit now.
Pimp Suit.
Get the memo in the mail.
I liked it, and I like the outcome. I'm looking forward to SmackDown this week for the first time in a long time.
It's going to be really interesting, because, I mean, we'll get to Raw in a second, but there was a lot on Raw that they didn't get to. So obviously we're probably going to get it. Obviously, you know, the Raw stuff took precedent.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, the fallout of WrestleMania is going to take until Extreme Rules.
Obviously.
I mean, because that's what always happens.
Well, that's convenient. Yeah. I wonder if they thought of that.
Golly. Hmm. You think they planned these things? You think this was a scripted show?
You wouldn't think that.
Next, we have CM Punk defeating Chris Jericho, the other match of the night contender.
It's Match of the Night for me, just on a technical level. Like, definitely the most technically sound match of the night. It did have its slow points. Very submission heavy.
Yeah. Lots of submission. I mean, to be fair, Jericho is Walls of Jericho.
Right, and you know? CM Punk, like, he doesn't get to end matches with the Anaconda Device nearly as much as he should, because I've always loved that move.
Yeah.
I
mean, the match ended in a tap out, and that always bothers me a little bit when tap outs happen at WrestleMania.
But in the sense, it kind of fits when they're trying to figure out who the best is, and if you can get the other guy to finally admit that
a tap,
admit defeat and tap. I feel like, you know, that kind of proves the point a little bit more.
I mean, yeah, but tapping out at WrestleMania.
I know. It's better than being unconscious for 3 seconds.
Come on, Chris Jericho.
Whatever.
But other than that, I mean, that's the minorest of quibbles compared to how good of a match this was.
It was a very good match, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
A solid, like, every moment
like,
of this match.
And, I mean, we had everyone had, lot of high hopes for this, because this was CM Punk's, like, first WrestleMania as, like, I wouldn't say the guy, but he's pretty close to being the guy.
Yeah.
And this is his first WrestleMania in that position.
In that position, holding the title.
Right. And I mean, of course, the pay-per-view didn't rest on his shoulders, obviously. But, you know, it showed that he could carry the load and people got behind it.
Right. It really showed, because, you know, the build-up since he's turned face and since, you know, we, more than, you know, a select few people, but that the whole universe has gotten behind him in full force, that he is a genuine contender for best in the world, and it's not just something on a t-shirt.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah. Oh, good match.
Good match.
Good match. And then finally, we get to the match that's a year...
Well, first, the concert.
Oh, the concert.
Okay. Better or worse than the rock concert Cena rap battle night?
I'm going to go with worse.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm going to go with worse because I got paid for it.
Hey, right here.
Or I paid for it.
That sound you heard was me and Joel slapping hands because we agreed on that.
A high five.
Huzzah.
I don't know if this match was as disappointing as it was at the time. I think it will take a while for me to get some distance from it and then watch it as a technical match.
It was a good... It was... Okay. It was slow.
Yeah.
It started off slow and it... You know, the pace didn't pick up until at least, I would say, what, like, the last 5 minutes, I think?
Yeah.
And I mean, when it... I mean...
I mean, part of it is I was so sure this was the torch passing match.
Exactly.
I was so sure.
And I felt like...
And, you know, I gotta congratulate Chris, because last week he predicted The Rock and I predicted Cena as winner.
Yeah, because I felt like... Okay, what would make sense in all aspects, what would make sense is if Cena won. Because Cena's the guy who's there every week.
Right.
He's the guy. So, if he loses, which he did, he's going to have to handle the fallout and recover and still maintain him being the guy. And they just went the easy route and had The Rock win in his hometown, which I assumed was going to happen just because, like I've said many, many times, I've never seen the WWE cater to one individual as much as they have with The Rock over the past year.
Well, somebody posted a picture on the internet after that, and it basically pointed out, if you get the three, you know, we're in the third generation, more or less, of WWE or WWF being the national, you know, everybody knows about it. It's the wrestling corporation. And if you get the three...
Almost as a wrestling monopoly, almost.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you define each generation by one guy, it's Hogan, Stone Cold, John Cena.
Right.
And The Rock has beaten them all at WrestleMania.
True. Because, I mean, yeah, because everyone liked The Rock, yeah, but Stone Cold was so much more over.
He's the Attitude Era guy. I mean,
like, he's the one who, yeah, he started the whole thing.
Yeah, it's called the Attitude Era because of Stone Cold.
Right.
But, yeah, The Rock's beating them all. And the thing, not to, you know, jump a little bit ahead into Raw now, because really what we can do now is speculate why they chose to go this way and where they're going to go from here. The Rock came out at the beginning of Raw and teased that he was going to be WWE champion again.
Which wouldn't surprise me. When, we don't know. Probably, I'm assuming next WrestleMania.
And the thing is, how do you be WWE champion and not be there every week?
Win the Royal Rumble? Okay, mark my words. Okay, and this is me going ahead and planning ahead. We will hardly ever see Rock on Raw this year.
Okay.
Rock is going to go back doing his movie thing, G.I. Joe promotions, all that stuff. I would say as a surprise entrant for January, Rock enters, wins the Rumble. Then challenges whoever's the champion at the time. No idea who that's going to be. And then that's how he wins. Because he's already confirmed that he's going to be in New York for WrestleMania next year.
Right.
So that's the only way in my mind at this moment that can happen.
But my question to you is, Rock wins the WWE Championship. Then is he on Raw every week? Is he on Raw at least every other week?
Maybe, I don't know, unless he, like, goes ahead and, like...
I mean, unless he wins it and goes... Yeah.
Clears his schedule ahead of time to where he can pull something like that off.
I mean, that's the thing is...
Unless he just drops it and
all of a sudden... Yeah, the other thing is he wins it and says, I can still win it. And then, yeah, drops it and there's a tournament for the next pay-per-view.
Which I'm okay with tournaments. I like tournaments when wrestling for some reason, but that's another story.
I like tournaments, but... 9-year-old part of me wants The Rock back. Like,
well, yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a little bit of when he said that. That was my first thought was like, to be champion, you can't be champion via satellite the way he's done.
Right.
This past year, you can barely maintain a feud via satellite.
Mm-hmm.
If this hadn't been a year long feud, I think Rock could have done marvelously via satellite.
Oh yeah.
But it was, and I think the year-long element killed it more than the Rock was never live element. But yeah, he can't be a champion from afar, because if nothing else, you know, one of the basic requirements, you know, and now I'm starting to quote rules, which is the dumbest thing to do when arguing about wrestling.
Sure.
But one of the rules stated is that the champion has to defend his title at least once every 30 days.
That's the quote-unquote rules, yeah.
And so, that at least puts The Rock on every pay-per-view as long as he's champion.
Which, true.
You know, I don't know if they can or will do that.
It'll be interesting.
Interesting it will be.
So, where are we? We talked about that at Raw.
That's WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's WrestleMania.
Better than last year.
So much better than last year. I was very relieved with how everything turned out. No Natalya.
No promo. Natalya.
No stupid April Fool's Day, really.
I know, right?
And we got to see Rodus Clay on WrestleMania. The whole million...
Million Mom Dance?
The Million Mom Dance was a little cheesy, but we got to see the Funkasaurus.
I mean, yeah, I have some complaints about wrestling, but, like, compared to what I feared, this WrestleMania surpassed my hopes, like, and dreams.
Given the current roster and the current state of things and who's hurt and who's not hurt, I think this was as best as they could have done without... changing Big Show and Cody Rhodes, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean,
we've already talked that one to death.
Yeah, if Rock and Cena could have been more action packed, that would have been cool. But You know, it's
fireworks. We got
external thoughts and features played as much a part into me not liking that as much as the two of them in the ring. Yeah. So that's I'm glad that we didn't get two WrestleMania 27s in a row.
That sucked.
Yes, it would have. And let's hope that 29 will be this good.
Hopefully.
So on to Raw, the Fallout Raw.
Raw.
We spoke about The Rock opening the show with a vision that he's going to be WWE champion one day. The show actually opens with Johnny saying that now he's the guy for both shows. He's going to start making matches. And making matches he does. He's CM Punk versus Mark Henry for the belt. And then a triple threat with Swagger and Ziggler against Santino for
US
the belt.
Yeah. So the first match was Santino, Swagger, and Ziggler. Santino managed to escape.
That was
pretty much the story of it.
The only real question is if there is going to be some genuine fallout between Swagger and Ziggler now.
I wouldn't count on it, to be honest with you.
Oh, but I want it. I'm ready for Ziggler to move up.
But one of them's going to have to turn face. Do you think Ziggler could do it? Because Ziggler's a fantastic heel.
Ziggler's such a good heel.
And they stopped doing the hashtag heel thing.
I don't know. I think he's a good heel, and I think Swagger still needs Vicky.
Yeah.
And that's really the thing is...
And I don't think Swagger would survive as a face.
No,
Not at this current moment. Ziggler probably would have a better chance.
Maybe could somebody be like a momentary heel and then go right back... Or a momentary face and go right back to being heel?
Maybe.
Because that's the thing is, I'm ready for Ziggler to move up into the main event thing.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm starting to feel like his association with Swagger is holding him back. And not because Swagger is not talented, because I think I've started to appreciate him more in the past couple of months with Vicky. Right. I think he's done a good job, but I do think he needs some time.
He needs that added personality. So,
yeah, he needs to really build the heat that Ziggler has. If they could break up somehow and both stay heels, that would be ideal for me.
Agreed.
Next, this guy came out. This guy with tattoos.
You ever seen him before?
He seems so familiar.
So familiar?
What be his name? This mysterious man from Japan.
Lord Tensai?
Lord Tensai.
Who's actually Matt Bloom, a.k.a. A-Train, a.k.a. Prince Albert. That's right. Named after the piercing. Hooray him.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who used to not shave his back.
The thing to talk about is the crowd was so dead during this.
They're so dead, and they kept doing the welcome back chants. They chanted A-Train. They're not fooling anyone with the manipulation of his facial hair to make him look Japanese. And the face tattoos. Like, we all know who it is, and we're still unimpressed. Everyone was unimpressed with him when he was in his original run, hence why they kept trying to change his name.
I mean...
But there was nothing to be excited about.
The thing is, this was such an energetic crowd.
Exactly. Like,
this crowd was going crazy
for no reason.
Except for this match.
Exactly. And I don't blame them. What is astounding to me is that I thought that the moment they would take the little mask off his face, Michael Cole would be like, oh my god, it's Prince Albert, you know? But we didn't get any of that. They're, you know, acting like they've never seen the guy before. And I'm like, how long are they going to keep that up? Like, I don't see this lasting long at all. Like, Bloom might have a fantastic career over in Japan, but in the WWE, he's just not working. And he might be better off there.
They need to pick this up faster. It's going to be my weekly bathroom
break. Yeah.
Moving on, because...
because, screw that.
I liked CM Punk and Mark Henry. I thought they did a good match.
It was a good match.
I also kind of like this idea. I feel like just John Laurinaitis is going to start making matches every week. Until Punk loses the title. So I like that. I thought this was a really good match. I thought Mark Henry still ended up looking very strong, even though he lost. I thought Punk looked really good, especially coming out of off of, you know, biggest match of his career.
Right.
Arguably. And I did like the ending with Jericho.
Yeah. I mean, do you like that for what it was, or do you like that, you know, he slipped when he was trying to kick him?
I did like that he slipped.
And still landed the kick.
Yeah. And got right back up.
Got right back
like
up.
Like nothing happened.
Grabbed another bottle.
Was right back to tormenting him.
So what do you think about this new twist or new happenstance or whatever? With Jericho with pouring the...
I think it really does, it you know, solidifies him as the heel in the relationship.
Right.
I think that,
if anything, it definitely makes the animosity between the two carry over from WrestleMania, because, you know...
Yeah. I feel like they were having a problem getting people to boo Chris Jericho. I think...
Right, and I mean, they're going to run into that problem because it's, you know, it's Chris Jericho. So
yeah.
You got to expect that a little bit, and I don't think they originally counted for that as much.
No, I think the whole coming out and not talking did not do what they wanted. I thought they really wanted, that's what they wanted.
I mean, it worked for me because I was annoyed.
But it's still Chris Jericho. I mean, you will have people boo, you know, cheer for Chris Jericho no matter what because
right.
of Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
But I think this goes a long way towards getting the casual fan to really solidify rooting against Chris Jericho
mm-hmm.
and for CM Punk in this. So yeah, I think it did its job very well.
Yeah.
I think it totally solidified. Sheamus comes out for victory time, you know, wave, say thank you. People booed.
Yep.
And not even against Sheamus. It was booing the match.
Yeah.
And cheering for Daniel Bryan. There were so many yes chants on Raw. And yeah, I'm very interested to see where they decide to go with this. I'm, you know...
I mean, obviously we know kind of where they're going to go with this, because, I mean, Alberto Del Rio interrupted, came out. Although...
He did, but all this was written before they realized the amazing pops that just thinking about Daniel Bryan was
Yeah, because, I mean, they try to do their entire promo while they're just yelling at Daniel Bryan.
Right.
You know. And I do like the...
And they had nothing to do, but, you know, this is the promo that we have to do. We have to cut.
Right, and I mean, you know, we've already committed to it this long. We might as well go ahead and go forward with it. And then the crowd chants, "See." I mean...
Approval.
I kept going back and forth to the crowd about how I felt with them, but at that point I was like, all right, yeah, good job. Good job.
Nice chanting. I salute you. We get filler matches with Cody and Kofi. We get filler matches with Miz and Zack Ryder. Yay. I mean, they were fine filler matches.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
There's not much to talk about because there's no real story development there.
No.
But the important stuff comes at the end when John Cena comes out.
Yep, he comes out and basically tries to, you know, kind of give the whole good game, shake hands with The Rock and, you know,
yeah,
move on from there.
There were little hints at the very end of the match that Cena was having some heelish tactics going on WrestleMania.
Right.
But he came out and reiterated, stating very clearly, he is, you know, sticking by Hustle, Loyalty, Respect. He is not changing character. You know, to the point where it feels like he is, you know, not breaking character, but bending sharply to let us know that, you know, he doesn't have any intention on turning heel anytime soon. But yeah, so he tries to call out The Rock, and the crowd just cheers Brock.
We want Lesnar.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they got what they wanted.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar comes out. This is cool.
This is pretty cool. Like,
now,
I feel like the crowd, at this point I was kind of mad at the crowd because I felt like they kind of spoiled the moment.
Yeah.
With, by chanting "We want Lesnar" beforehand.
I mean,
again, you know, WWE wasn't really fooling anyone because we all heard that.
Yeah,
you know,
we knew it was coming.
We all heard about the weekend and how over the weekend they signed Lesnar to a 1-year deal. So, I mean...
This is one of the things where I, you know, I can imagine if I didn't know ahead of time and the crowd wasn't seemingly cheering that for no reason.
Right.
You know, it would have blown my mind to see Brock Lesnar back in a WWE stadium.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that he was looking into it and he was interested, but there was part of me that really just wasn't sure if he would really come back.
Yeah. No, it was, you know, to liken it to The Rock's return, where, you know, they made a big deal the week before that next week they would be announcing it. Mm. And I didn't know it was going to be The Rock, but, you know, the only thought was, it's got to be that, you know, nobody else merits that big of a build-up.
It was either Rock or Justin Bieber.
And, pretty much. And the thing was, you know, I was thinking it almost sarcastically at the time, because The Rock's not coming back to WWE.
Yeah.
And it still feels like Brock Lesnar's not coming back to WWE. I mean, someday, but,
right,
you know, when he needs that paycheck, but...
So how do you feel about Brock versus John Cena?
Do you think that's what's happening?
I don't know. Like, from... I wanted...
So, so to clarify, what happens is... He calls out The Rock, or calls The Rock to the ring. He's specifically saying he's not calling out The Rock, but he's calling The Rock to the ring to congratulate him. But Rock doesn't come out. Brock Lesnar comes out, shakes Cena's hand, and turns it to an F5, and ends the show on that. And, it, you know, obviously next week is when all our questions will be answered, or some of the questions will be answered. But, you know, all the questions now are, is it going to be a Brock Lesnar-Cena feud? What do you do with that?
I don't know. I was sincerely hoping for Brock and Rock. One, because, you know...
Brock and Rock.
It's fun to say. And two, I was wanting John Cena to have a regular year after last year. Like, last year, it was just... Everything Cena did, it was all about The Rock. And
right.
It was all about... Knowing that anything that he was involved in had an expiration date.
Because
of the looming big match.
Yeah. I mean, the questions are, as much as anything else, part of the reason Brock Lesnar left is because he hated the schedule.
Right.
So I mean, that's, is he going to be on the weekly shows?
I highly doubt it. And, see, I mean, a lot of people are... A lot of people have said that WWE wants to announce a WrestleMania match ahead of time, like they did last year. And so I'm assuming Brock Lesnar is involved in that.
Yeah.
Because who else is he going to face? It's either John Cena or Rock, really.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do WrestleMania predictions next week.
Of course, yeah. But I just... I don't see where else this angle could go unless Lesnar just came out to just attack John just because, you know, he felt like it.
Well, you remember...
I mean, they just signed this week, so I'm pretty sure they haven't fleshed out all the ideas.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember the build-up to, you know, original Brock Lesnar run, it was that he destroyed everybody.
True, so maybe he just comes out and destroys people.
You know, just whoever's in the ring at the end of the night gets to get an F5. So, I don't know, It's a thing where, you know, again, I think that it's exciting for me. There's going to be a little bit of, you know, those same people being like, I know Brock Lesnar's a big deal, right, but I didn't see him be awesome in 2002.
I feel like we're going to get a lot of UFC people.
You think?
Like, we are going to see a lot of tap-out shirts at WrestleMania 29. Just you watch.
Okay.
A lot of quote-unquote bros.
I'll keep my eye out for the tap-out shirts. We'll have to add them into the WrestleMania crowd bingo cards.
Yeah, we can add them to Green Hat Dude.
Oh, Green Hat Dude. Guys, when you get your DVD to see WrestleMania 28 again, there's a gentleman in the front of the crowd wearing a green Cena t-shirt and green Cena hat.
And glasses. He has
and glasses.
Thick black rimmed glasses.
Yeah, he caught Cena's shirt at the end of the night. He was the best part of WrestleMania.
Because he was just...
He was so invested.
In Cena, and that was it. Like, he looked so unimpressed with anything else.
No. He was like... every reaction that he had was so great. We didn't see him till halfway through, but yeah...
I need to go back and watch.
Go back and watch. It's very clear that he was cheering for Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, and John Cena. Like, this guy had such a bad night.
Oh.
Green shirt guy, if you're by any chance listening to this, please contact us. Because I would love to have you on this show to give your WrestleMania opinions.
I would shake your hand and shake my head at you.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, green shirt guy is my hero. And
he was on Raw.
He was on Raw, too.
Practically in the same spot, front row.
Oh, it was so entertaining. So yeah, I want them to go back to Miami and hope Green Shirt Guy's there again.
We will be looking for you, Green Shirt Man.
All right. I think that's our WrestleMania podcast.
That's our WrestleMania llama.
It was a good night had good by night. All. Next week we will be predicting WrestleMania 29 cards that will go over terribly. I assure you.
And we will be bound by the law.
I will trot out my WrestleMania 28 card from last year just to give you an idea of how wrong these things can get.
And I hold him to it. Like, anything he says can and will be used against him as a flotation device.
That's how it works. But until next time.
Till next time.
Stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah! Thank you.